Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. Glad to have you with us today. We've got a big show lined up. And also, if you're listening live in the 11 o'clock hour coming up at 1 p.m., this is something we're going to start doing on a regular basis. We'll have Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb and his coronavirus COVID-19 update for the day. And speaking of the coronavirus, as of the update this morning in the state of Indiana, Indiana now at 56 cases as of this morning. So an interesting number to watch as there's more tests being done. You expect the number to go up. Most of the counties or most of the heavy numbers, obviously, in heavily populated areas. But we do have some cases here in southern Indiana. We know two in Floyd County. We know one in Clark County that have been announced or at least tested positive at this point. Other southern Indiana counties, I think you got to go to Jennings County, just up 65 to find at this point the next reported case. Bartholomew County as well, where Columbus is located. So that number continues to grow, and I think we all expect that that number will grow. Let's just hope that it doesn't grow too crazy. But as more tests are done, obviously we know numbers are going to surge. They told us that yesterday in President Trump's daily update, that now that testing is becoming a more regular thing, you know, obviously, and they, I think they were turning in older tests as well that they were waiting for results from. But nonetheless, we know it's going to go up. And I hope that everyone is being safe and practicing social distancing. And those that need to completely stay shut in because of age or because of underlying conditions are doing so. And again, we're going to press forward with this show. We're going to find sports topics to talk about. We're going to include some other guests that we think will be interesting or that are necessary at this time of with the pandemic going on. And want to always try to deliver things from a local perspective, too. It's, I guess it's a little frustrating because we're in far southern Indiana, as I often call it. You know, we're outside of the metropolitan Indianapolis area by an hour and a half or so. And so most of the media, given how things are set up in this area, most of the media is Louisville-based. You've got us doing primarily sports, but we want to be news partners as well in a time like this. Based in Jeffersonville, you've got the News and Tribune, which obviously does a tremendous job. It is a good partner of ours covering this stuff, covering sports and a lot more. But outside of that, most of your television is coming from Louisville. Most of your other radio, your newspapers are coming from Louisville. And so rightfully so, they're going to be focused more on what maybe the Kentucky updates are, the Kentucky governor has to say. And so starting today at 1 o'clock, we'll bring you Governor Holcomb with his updates. I don't know that he has got to the point where he's doing updates on a daily basis like Governor Beshear is in Kentucky, but he's doing them on a very, very regular basis. And so we plan to pick those up and bring those to you. We'll try to give you as much notice. If we know about it when I'm on the air, we'll let you know when that's coming up. We'll also be active on our social media accounts, letting you know when we're going to air the Indiana COVID-19 updates. So a lot of people have asked, and I think a couple people have said this today in his press conference, in Governor Holcomb's press conference. He's supposed to talk a lot about some educational things associated with this. And so I think a lot of teachers and other people locally are interested to hear that as well. So again, coming up at 1 o'clock, about an hour after we're on the air, if you're listening in the 11 o'clock hour to the live program, that is, we're going to have Eric Holcomb for you coming up later today. Let's jump into the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. They are still open. They obviously have takeout service. They'll even bring it to the curb to your car if you give them a call. Let's take a look at what we're going to do today, what we're going to accomplish on today's show. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's. A couple things to get to. Very interesting situation at Scottsburg. And I alluded to this as I went off the air yesterday just before the, I don't know if you want to call it an emergency school board meeting, but an odd-timed school board meeting in Scottsburg, a noon meeting. It's drawn a lot of attention. They did go ahead and fire their coach, Brent Jamison, and we'll talk some about that coming up in our headline segment here in just a few minutes. Also, a few other postseason honors for some of our local players here in the area. We'll cover those and a few other things in our headlines today. Later in the program, as always, Alex Bozich inside the hall. He's with me. We'll talk IU. We'll talk college hoops. Obviously, it's an odd time of year. Odd time, I shouldn't say of the year, but an odd time in general for college hoops. But we'll talk about some subjects surrounding the IU season and what's next for Indiana basketball. I'm not sure that we know exactly what is next for college hoops or for the sports world. But obviously, the things must go on. Recruiting must go on at some point. NBA draft, those sorts of things can really affect how this college basketball season officially comes to a close. So we'll talk about some of that coming up here today as well. Later in the show, I told you that in this time, to keep things rolling and to keep things, we think, not just entertaining, but to help update you with important things. We're going to bring on some community members as well to talk about what's going on here in our area and how this COVID-19 situation is and can affect us right here in Southern Indiana, right here in Clark and Floyd counties. And so today, Dr. Eric Yazel of the Clark County Health Department, he's Clark County's health officer. He's going to join us later in the show today. And we'll talk about the local response to COVID-19, what you need to know about getting out to some of the restaurants if you want to go to drive through or pick something up. We're obviously promoting that to our partners here on the Big X. But, you know, is it for sure safe? And he's got some information for you on that coming up later in the show. And just how the response is going locally and how prepared the response is locally and other tips about this virus and how to steer clear of it, how to keep yourself and your community healthy. We'll cover those subjects and more with Dr. Yazel, the Clark County Health Officer, later in the show. That's the lineup for today. Visit your local Honey Baked Ham store in New Albany for lunch and dinner options that you can get quickly in a very clean and present atmosphere without the crowds and chaos at the grocery stores. They have several dinner bundles as well as delicious ham and turkey for takeout. Lots of options at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. And again, they are still open. Takeout is available. Curbside service, even I understand, is available. If you call ahead, let them know that you're on your way. Let them know what you want, that you're en route. They'll bring it right out to you in this very crazy time. So keep the Honey Baked Ham in mind as you head home from work, or maybe you head out for lunch today. And they're our sponsor of the show lineup each day here on the Hoosier Report. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And we start with a high school coaching situation. It's not from Clark and Floyd County, but they are a member of the Mid-Southern Conference. And it is a school that a lot of our local Clark and Floyd County teams play, and that's Scottsburg High School. And I guess if you go back over the years, I can remember the pressure cooker, which is the name of Scottsburg's gym, being absolutely packed. They've had some tremendous history to that program. It's always been a fan base where the fans are very, very rabid fans. It's a community that still really supports its high school basketball and its high school athletics. But they've kind of got, and I hate to say this because there's a lot of good people at Scottsburg, in the schools specifically, they've kind of got a little reputation of some crazy situations with their basketball coaches. A meeting was called on Wednesday. The reason the meeting was called, and I'm going off a report from WDRB, and even Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, he penned a story on this yesterday, but the meeting was called for Wednesday at noon. Of course, we're in the middle of this coronavirus thing, and there's supposed to be no public meetings and lots of video conferencing. I know that school board, you know, government meetings, you've got some responsibilities with how many people can board members have to be there to have a quorum. And but it's a public meeting. It has to be open and things like that. But a meeting called kind of at an odd time. But, hey, if they want to call a meeting They say the reason for the meeting was the COVID-19 update for their school system. Obviously, that's their business to do. But they add some personnel items to the meeting. One of those personnel items is that they're going to consider hiring, firing, renewing, not renewing, whatever you want to say, Brent Jamison, who's their boys basketball coach. And, you know, I don't like to take sides in this stuff and really don't want to take sides in this situation either. But I do know Coach Jamison. He was a former assistant coach at Seymour. He came to the state of Indiana to basically coach high school basketball. He was an assistant coach for Kyle Clough, who took over from Michigan at Seymour for a few years and tried to breathe some life into that program and really got a lot of activities going with the young kids. He followed suit when he left Seymour, went to Scottsburg as the head coach, did a whole bunch, a lot of activities, lots of stuff with the young kids, tried to create some excitement, and Scottsburg has a really good contingent of young players coming through their program in the upper middle school freshman grades right now that somebody, not Coach Jamison, is going to be able to, I would say, have some real success with them. But he was fired yesterday, a 5-0 vote. The superintendent's son is on the team, which, again, just something that is worth noting. His records in four complete seasons for Coach Jamison at Scottsburg, his first year he was 5-19. So an improvement from the year before when he wasn't the coach. 2017-18, his second year, he improved to 7 wins, 7-18 on the season, 1-8 in conference play. The next year, 2018-2019, a big jump, 15 wins for Scottsburg, 9 losses, and a nice 6-3 record in the Mid-Southern Conference. Keep in mind, this is Silver Creek's conference, so the Dragons in that conference. This past season, which just concluded, 2019-2020 season, 14 wins, 11 losses for Coach Jamison. Guess what? He went 8-1 in the Mid-Southern Conference. His only loss was to Silver Creek. And I know he didn't have the postseason that he wanted. Obviously, Silver Creek was in that sectional. It's a tough sectional all the way around. But very interesting. Here's a guy that's coming in and really laying the groundwork for the future, really getting some activities going on. Also, most importantly, making improvements with the varsity team as far as the records go and the win totals go and success in the conference goes. Very surprised to see him go out the door in the manner that he went out the door. So other people been kind of opining on this. I don't want to get too far into it, but it is a situation that kind of makes you scratch your head a little bit. And Scottsburg has done this before with Brady Wells, who ended up making a return. But this is just a very interesting situation for a school that right now is making improvements. In the next few years, it's going to have lots of talent. And again, they've got a great sports, athletics, basketball tradition still to this day, despite some down years, which is exciting for that community. But kind of disappointing the way this thing has played out, at least in the manner that it played out. Not a lot of notice given, a meeting held at noon, a meeting held during the COVID-19 outbreak. Just doesn't look good, just doesn't sound good for Scottsburg. But Coach Jamison out, that's another opening in high school basketball. I would say that he's somebody that could likely, depending on what jobs open, could stay in the area. He's shown some improvement, and I'd say another school might be happy to grab him up. We shall see how that plays off. Other postseason awards, let's see here. Trey Coleman of Jeffersonville, Julian Hunter of New Albany. They were both selected to play in the 32nd annual North-South Indiana All-Star Classic that's put on each year by the Hoosier Basketball Magazine folks. As you can imagine, the game has been postponed. It was initially scheduled for April 5th at Heritage Hills. It's been moved back. They're going to hope to still play it. We'll see if it actually happens, obviously because of the current health threat. Also worth noting that Jeffersonville standout in girls basketball, Nan Garcia, who's going to go to Penn State. She was chosen as an honorary player. She's still recovering from a serious leg injury, so she couldn't have played and probably won't be able to play in the game, even if it's bumped back, but was honored on that list of very good boys and very good girls, seniors in the state of Indiana that are split into North and South and normally play a pretty competitive game. Lots of postseason honors, as expected every year this time of year, for some of our local players, and Trey Coleman and Julian Hunter on the boys' side, Nan Garcia on the girls' side, picking up some of those honors as well. Don't forget, still ahead, we have Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. We'll also be joined by Dr. Eric Yazel, the Clark County Health Officer, as we talk about the COVID-19 threat. Stay with us. A lot more coming your way. It's a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back. This Thursday program, we're joined by Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, who is always with me each week. We talk IU basketball and more in the world of college hoops, which right now, Alex, is pretty slow. One thing that is, I think, somewhat normal for this time of year, maybe it would be a few weeks or a month or so from now if the NCAA tournament was still being played, is the number of players entering the transfer portal. It's clear that even in this offseason, with an abrupt end to the season and a different way of life right now in our country, that there are going to be a number of transfers. Does that surprise you that that number has already started to grow, given how the season ended, given what's going on in the world right now? And do you think that any Indiana players, as you go through and kind of put your final thoughts on Indiana's roster this season, who played, who didn't play, who got the minutes maybe that they wanted, who didn't get the minutes they wanted. Do you think we could see any Indiana guys eventually enter that portal at some point here in this offseason?
I definitely think it's possible. I don't like to speculate because we obviously don't know, even in normal times. I don't like to speculate on who might be coming and going because we just don't know what certain guys are thinking or kind of what their expectations were. But there was definitely a couple guys on this year's roster that maybe you look at and say, would they be better off somewhere else with a bigger opportunity? In terms of the overall landscape, I guess I'm not super surprised because it seems like a lot of these moves that are happening, guys probably had this in mind for weeks, if not months, before all this unfolded. I just kind of wonder, and this is, of course, like in terms of problems that we're dealing with right now as a society, this is just so low on the totem pole, but I just kind of wonder how this is all going to affect decision making with guys not able to really be seen by coaches. Coaches can't go visit anybody right now, obviously, and kids can't visit campus. I mean, it's closed doors in that regard. I mean, I'm sure you can do things like FaceTime and call on the phone, but that's definitely not the same as actually meeting with someone face to face. So I just wonder what the long-term impact of this is going to be on the transfers this year. And maybe if there's an extension in terms of, people getting a chance to actually go face to face when that time arises and some decisions maybe being made a little bit later than what we normally see. I mean, we're in uncharted territory, Matt. I don't think there's an easy answer to any of these questions. But I guess it gives us a bit of a distraction to be able to follow that right now. I did see some good news pop across my Twitter feed a couple of minutes ago that the MLS said that they're hoping to resume play on May 10th. I have no idea if that's something that's even realistic right now, but I know that we're all just kind of starving for some good news at this point. We'll see how this all plays out. I think the best advice, and we've talked off air quite a bit. You've been my friend for a long time, and I respect your opinion as much as anybody. But I think that the message that I've been trying to give to people that have asked me questions is we just got to take it one day at a time, and we'll see how it all ends up. But I think ultimately we'll all get through this, and we'll be back to talking about sports one day again soon.
Absolutely. Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. I saw this getting ready for our interview today. Adam Silver, I missed this yesterday, but mentioned the idea of maybe some sort of exhibition game using a small group of players, obviously healthy players. I'm not sure if it would be two teams or a selection of players. I have no clue what type of game, but I think something like that with the, and I should say with money, I'm assuming TV money, sponsorships going to charity. I can't imagine that they're talking about a charity game with people in the stands right now, but I think anything like that, given how people have, and I know that you've been very active with this, and I want to talk to you about that in a minute, watching some of the old IU games and or tweeting about them and writing a little bit about them. Jared Morris has done a great job with some of that stuff as well. I think people are starved for something in sports that can, even for a couple hours, remind them of something normal that should be going on at this time of year. And even if it's just some sort of scrimmage game for fun, Adam Silver might be onto something. Of course, health has to come first, and it's got to be done the right way from that aspect. But that would be very interesting to see if they can pull that off. I think it would be a very widely watched thing, just because it's something live and it's something fresh and it's something new and it's sports.
Yeah, I mean, I think as we go on here, I mean, the thing you have to remember, and I've tried to keep this in perspective, is we're at the very early stages of learning about this virus and kind of how it's going to impact all of our day-to-day lives. And, you know, right now, as dark as every day may seem, and there, you may have times where you don't, you know, if you're a huge sports fan, it's a tough time because, you know, 45 minutes from now is when the first games of the Thursday window, afternoon window of the tournament, we're supposed to tip off. And it's tough, but I think you got to remember that it's going to take some time. I think, you know, if once we get through the next couple weeks, maybe months, and things start to get a little bit better, I think you're going to see things like that that pop up, whether it be, you know, leagues actually getting back up and running or things just being done around the world to kind of get to distract our attention. I think anything that can be done from a charity perspective just to help people, I mean, this is just going to impact so many people, and I think the NBA, what they did by shutting down their league last Wednesday, was really the responsible move. I think it really started the domino effect of other people kind of opening their eyes and saying, "Hey, we got to get out in front of this." And really, sports is the thing that brings us all together. You know, anyone remembers back to their childhood, there's a lot of their best memories are sports, playing sports with friends. And then as you grow older, you have teams that you root for and you have different leagues that you follow and so on. And you have friends that you talk to about all this stuff. And while all that's gone, it leaves an empty void. So I think anything that can get us, you know, whether that's watching old games, whether that's looking forward to the potential of something like this happening with the NBA, where they maybe in a few weeks from now and they determine, hey, you know, we've got enough data on this. We've determined that we can take 10 players and we can do something that's safe. I think people in general, I like to believe that people are good and you know, that we're all going to get through this. But yeah, I hope that we're able to do some of those things here as the weeks and months go on. And we can look back at this time and remember that, you know, this was a low point for a lot of people and it was a tough time for a lot of people. But then once we get back to, you know, maybe it never gets back to exactly the way it was before. You know, this could be a world changing thing, but you just have to think that there's going to be better times ahead and that, you know, you'll be more appreciative of those times and you won't take things as granted for much, because right now it's just a really tough thing for a lot of people to go through, and I empathize with a lot of people because I'm feeling a lot of the same ways that everybody else is.
Absolutely. Very good points from Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. And don't forget, even in this downtrod period, Alex still putting out lots of content, InsideTheHall.com, at Inside the Hall. You can follow him there on Twitter. Jumping back into Indiana for a moment, Scott Dolson, basically changing jobs in the Indiana Athletic Department. He'll become the new AD sometime this summer once Fred Glass is officially retired in May. He does have to go through board approval, which sounds like should be a pretty standard process. But your thoughts on him as Indiana's new guy when it comes to sports, and also your thoughts on Indiana choosing to stay in-house and promote from within, what that means as well for its next athletic director.
Yeah, I like the move. Scott actually had a teleconference this morning from about 10 to 10:35, I was only able to kind of hop on it there at the end because I was doing some things with my kids here around the house. So I hopped on the end and asked him a question. But, you know, I like the hire because of his familiarity. And I've had some people ask me, we talked about this yesterday on the podcast, Jared asked me if I thought the current situation in the world had anything to do with Indiana not going out of house and making a hire. I don't necessarily think it was a huge factor, but the familiarity, I think, can really help, you know, lead the department through what's going to be a difficult time. And Scott, you know, I've known him, you know, not on a personal level, but on a professional level for several years now. I always say hi to him at games. He's a friendly, outgoing, engaging guy that a lot of people like. In many ways, I think he's going to kind of carry on the spirit that Fred Glass has had. You know, Fred Glass, in terms of media access and things like that, around the country, you look at athletic directors, there's not many more who are friendlier to the public, to the media, than Fred Glass. And I think Scott Dolson is going to bring a lot of those attributes. And you look around Indiana's campus right now, all the athletic buildings that have gone up and all the renovations and different exciting things that are happening, Scott Dolson was a big part of all those things. You know, we focus so much on basketball, Matt, but there's a lot of other great things going on with IU athletics, a lot of other programs that have done really good things and are in really good spots, so in terms of their success. And Scott has been the right-hand man to Fred Glass for a long time. I know they're extremely close, so this should be a smooth transition, and I think one that fans should be excited about, because I'm confident that Scott's going to do a really good job. He's an IU guy through and through. He was a basketball manager in Bloomington. He's been around the basketball program very closely the last several years, going back to the Crean years, and then Archie Miller. I know they have an outstanding relationship. So I think it's a great hire. I'm looking forward to seeing what Scott's able to do. I'm sure some things will change, because anytime you have a changing of the guard, there's going to be some things that the new leader wants to do a little bit differently than the outgoing guy. But I think for in a lot of cases, it's going to be business as usual. And I know right now, based on what Scott said on that call, he's working a lot of hours, holed up in his office, he said, just trying to make sure that the people around IU Athletics and all the athletes are going to be able to kind of navigate through this uncertain time. There's a lot of people with a lot of questions. There's a lot of people that work at different facilities at IU that may be laid off or furloughed at this time, and they're doing their best to kind of make sure those people are going to be able to get through this and get to the other side.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. I know I'm jumping around a bit, Alex, but I did want to get to this question that came in on Twitter for you. I think it's an interesting question. I'm not sure that you'll have the answer, but it's something to think about. Given the change with schools being out, and that I guess maybe, and I think I saw that a school, gosh, I hate to name the school district, but up southwestern Indiana already canceled through the end of the year. But given that that's a possibility, basically the question is, could this affect Christian Lander and his potential plans to reclassify if there is no summer school, or if school doesn't finish this year? Could that have any effect? And that may not be a question that you or I can answer, but it is interesting to think about. Could something like that maybe make him come back to high school for another year?
Yeah, we had that question yesterday on the podcast from somebody that reads the site, and I hesitated to even touch it at this point, because you just don't know. I mean, we don't know what the future holds for any of this stuff. We don't know how it's going to impact the academics of any high school kid at this point. So I think if Christian Lander is able to reclassify, he's going to take that path. But as for the impact this could have on that, I really have no idea. I would have to, I think, do some research. He probably doesn't even know really at this point. It's a really tough question to answer. I don't think there's really a good answer, so I would hate to speculate on it.
Yeah, understand. Alex Bozich inside the hall joining me on this Thursday edition of the program. Don't forget, still ahead, Clark County Health Officer Dr. Eric Yazel joins the program in the next segment. Alex, as you think ahead to this Indiana team for next season, and I know there are so many unknowns right now, Could there be transfers out? Could there be transfers in? Graduate transfers, obviously, are so more and more common these days in college basketball. What is Indiana's biggest need for the roster when you factor in who the incoming freshmen will be, when you factor in their positions and their ability, and also who's likely back for Indiana? Is there a need, a position, a size? Is there something that Indiana is most on the market for in this transfer game with all the graduate possibilities and as more and more players enter the portal?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's clear. I mean, if this is a tough question to answer because it's kind of is related to the Lander thing. If he's able to reclassify and move up, I think Indiana would feel pretty good about what they have at the guard position for next year. You know, if you look at a potential rotation with Christian Lander, Rob Fennessy, Al Durham Jr., Armon Franklin, then you add Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway, I think you've got some pretty good depth. If he's not able to reclassify, then I would say the biggest need would be somebody in the backcourt that can either shoot the ball or handle the ball. I think, you know, Anthony Leal obviously is going to be able to do some things in terms of shooting. I'm not sure that he's going to be able to handle the ball much and run offense. So I think the front court is pretty well set. Assuming Trace Jackson Davis comes back to school, you've got a lot of key pieces returning there. You're really only losing Deron Davis, who didn't play a ton of minutes. I think you have to like the setup there with Trace Jackson Davis, Joey Brunk, and Race Thompson. And then, you know, Jerome Hunter playing some three and the four on the wing for Archie Miller. So I would definitely think it starts in the backcourt, but I think it's hugely dependent on whether Lander reclassifies. If he's able to come next year, I'm not sure you need to get a grad transfer. If he doesn't, I think the need arises and maybe they're trying to find somebody who can either, you know, give you some minutes as a point guard or somebody that can space the floor and help knock down outside shots.
Talking to Alex Bozich inside the hall here on this Thursday edition of the program. Alex, obviously Inside the Hall rolls on. College basketball is at a halt. What have you been doing to pass the time? I know you are basketball crazy like me and like so many listeners of this program. Do you enjoy going back, watching some of the great classic Big Ten games and NCAA tournament games that have been on some of the networks?
Yeah, I've done some of that. Been doing a lot of different things around the house with my kids as best I can, trying to teach them some things, showing them some old games, things like that. But yeah, I mean, at this point in time, it's I watched yesterday a little bit of that IU Temple game from 2013. I was at that game in Dayton. It was a close game and a lot of fun to kind of go back and rewatch. I hope the Big Ten Network and I know Westwood One, I think, is going to start replaying some of the NCAA tournament games here today. I'm not sure how the best way to access that, but if anybody wants to listen to those, I'm sure you can just type it into Google and figure out a way to do that. But, yeah, I mean, it's basically at this point trying to find some TV shows that maybe you wanted to watch and haven't to this point. Binge a couple of those and just kind of bunker down and try not to read too much. The one thing I've kind of had to force myself to do the last couple of days is to stop reading Twitter and all the news as much as I had been, because it got to a point where it was information overload. And I just think there's so much uncertainty with the situation that the things can swing wildly in such a hurry that you can kind of get caught up and it can overwhelm you when you take in too much information. So just try to relax and, you know, the situation's out of our control. They trust that there's a lot of smart people in this world that are going to help us get through it. And hopefully that's the outcome that I know all of us are hoping and praying happens.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. One final thing before we let you go. I know there have been a lot of neat brackets and fantasy brackets and simulated brackets and all that sort of thing with the NCAA tournament, with really so many different things online here lately to help pass some time. But I saw that you guys, you and Jared Morris, Jared, of course, is with us on Fridays of the Assembly Call, are going to have a greatest Hoosier of all time bracket, I think is basically the name that you've put to it. Tell us more about that. That should be some fun content to be on the lookout for.
Yeah, Cam Drummond and Dylan Wallace are two student writers for this year. they are going to actually do a lot of the heavy lifting on this. We've come up with four brackets, four regions, so to speak. There's going to be the pre-Knight era, the Knight era up to 1985, the 85 era to the end of the Knight era, and then there's going to be post-Knight. So there's going to be four regions. We're going to have seeds, and we're going to take it to Twitter, and we're going to vote each round, and we're going to have the bracket, and we'll see who wins. It's going to be interesting to see if somebody like Calbert Chaney or Isaiah Thomas, who I think a lot of people would think would be the favorites, or will there be an upset along the way? Will somebody like Romeo Langford, is he going to make the bracket? Is he going to have to play his way into the bracket? There's going to be 68 teams, so there's going to be our 68 players, so there's actually going to be play-in rounds. So all that's going to be coming. I don't exactly know when we're going to start it. We're still kind of planning everything out, but it's going to be coming real soon. And it's going to be something I think a lot of people are going to enjoy and have a lot of fun with.
Absolutely. Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. Enjoyed our conversation. Let's do it again next week. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk with you again very soon.
All right, Matt. Have a good one. Thank you.
We'll head to a commercial break. Come back with Dr. Eric Yazel of the Clark County Health Department. He's Clark County's health officer. We'll talk about the local effects of COVID-19, what to expect, and some other good tips from Dr. Yazel coming up next right here on a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Thursday edition of the program. All week long, we've been doing some sports. We've been keeping it pretty normal, but also to continue this show, and we want to educate you and talk about our local community as well. We've been doing some non-sports stuff. Jeffersonville Mayor Mike Moore, he joined us earlier in the week. Next week, New Albany Mayor Jeff Gahan, and we have some other community-oriented guests coming up here in the future weeks as well. But, you know, you turn on the television or on the radio, and this coronavirus, COVID-19, it's everywhere, and as it should be. It's obviously a big concern, a pandemic right now in our country that seems to be growing, but you don't always get a local perspective. You don't always get what's going on here in Clark and Floyd counties. You don't always get what's going on in Indiana because of our position in Southern Indiana. A lot of the TV market, the radio market, dominated by updates from maybe the Kentucky governor, who's doing a great job, by the way, with his daily updates. But we wanted to bring on some local guests. We've been doing that. We'll continue to do it. And I'm really honored to get some time today with Dr. Eric Yazel. He's the Clark County Health Officer, the chief medical officer in the county. And he joins us to talk about this COVID-19 situation from a very local perspective. And Dr. Yazel, it's great to talk with you today. I know it's not under great circumstances. We know you guys are doing some good work at the hospital and beyond. Appreciate a few minutes of your time today.
Well, no, I really appreciate you having me on here as well, and the service you're doing to the community also. I mean, kind of managing the community expectations and, you know, educating the general public is of huge importance. So thank you for taking the time to do that. This is going to be a community fight, not just a, you know, medical fight. So again, thank you for having me on here.
Absolutely. Dr. Yazel, let me start with this. How did things change for you and maybe for the operations of the Clark County Health Department, and even the Floyd County operation as well, when these first local cases, two cases in Floyd as of this interview, one case in Clark County as of this interview, how does that change your thoughts on this situation locally and maybe the response to the COVID-19 situation locally?
Sure. You know, it's a unique thing because I want to be really clear, you know, we had a distinct advantage of almost a two-month lead time, you know, when we knew it was going to hit our area. So I know there's been, you know, lots of arguing over the country's preparation as a whole, but I know from a, you know, Louisville metro area, Clark and Floyd counties and all over Southern Indiana, there's been an unprecedented level of medical cooperation between counties and emergency rooms and hospitals. We've developed plans, backup plans and backup plans for those plans. And we feel that we have done everything we can to have the best degree of preparation. That being said, you know, and we expected to get these cases in our county. You know, we weren't sure which day, but we knew within, you know, we had about a 72-hour window when we'd probably start seeing our first cases. And the thing that I think changed is that was a signal that we're going from the preparation phase to the response phase. You know, it's here. Now it's time to put some of those plans in action.
Talking with Dr. Yazel of the Clark County Health Department. He's Clark County's health officer. Everybody wants to know, and of course this is affecting obviously individuals and families and also businesses and many, many different operations, whether it be, again, a personal thing or a business type operation. Everybody wants to know how long this is going to last. And I know there's all sorts of different numbers out there that you can follow each day. Testing in this country is something that really, it seems, is getting underway in a big way, maybe now. Perhaps you can comment on that as well. But how long do you anticipate? And I know this is just an anticipation, but you're the best person we're going to have the opportunity to ask this question to. How long do you anticipate that our normal things like sporting events and public events and maybe parties and gatherings that we are so used to doing, especially in this upcoming springtime, how long could those potentially be off with the numbers that you see locally in our state, maybe as you even watch trends in the country and across the world?
Yeah, I think, you know, one thing that's been fairly consistent everywhere that's hit, you know, obviously different countries have had different levels of success and, you know, in preventing the spread, but the timeline is relatively similar everywhere, to be honest. It reaches your community about a week or 10 days later, you start to see your first positive cases. That next week to 10 days is kind of your point of maximal community spread. And then, you know, all of a sudden about a week later, you start to really get your spike of positive tests. It lasts for a few weeks and then starts to back down. You know, the speed of that again depends on your community response. But, you know, judging from other locations, you know, and again, this is a crystal ball kind of thing, but I do think I do not expect, you know, major public events to be happening at least all the way through the end of May. I think, you know, June, July, those summer dates are kind of the probably reasonable target times for when we'll be back up and running.
Absolutely. We're talking with Dr. Eric Yazel. He's the Clark County Health Officer. We're talking about COVID-19, the coronavirus, of course, and how it's affecting us here locally, getting some advice from Dr. Yazel as well today. Everybody is ultra concerned right now. If you get a little cough or you sneeze a couple times, and again, no one wants to overreact, but you want to be cautious when you're around family, around maybe perhaps you're still at work, around coworkers. What are the key symptoms to you that makes a difference between, hey, I've got a little springtime cold as the weather goes from winter to spring? That often happens in this area. Allergies often are something that common in this area. But what are the key things to differentiate, okay, I've got something that I really need to pay attention to related to COVID-19, or, hey, this is just something, a standard cold. You don't want to overreact for something like that.
Well, and that's what makes COVID-19 somewhat difficult, is because for a vast majority, I mean, 80 to 85% of people, that's all it's going to be. I mean, some people are completely asymptomatic. Some people, it's just a sinus infection kind of symptoms, or some just flu-like symptoms. And I mean, that's a real majority of the population. Where it becomes dangerous is when it reaches the, those with other comorbid medical conditions, your 65-year-olds with, on 20 different medications with 3 or 4 different chronic conditions, your cancer patients on chemotherapy, things like that. So, you know, I think the public needs to realize that some of these, you know, social distancing and some of the things we're talking about, it's not for you as an individual, it's for us as a community to protect our most vulnerable people, and that's huge. So that's kind of where all those things come from. And, you know, I got a lot of questions when the schools started to close. They're like, why are we closing schools and, you know, canceling sports? You know, the youth population doesn't tend to get it. Well, number one, you know, we obviously have to do everything we can to protect our youth, but also, a lot of kids live with their grandparents or, you know, have family members that may have cancer. You know, it's more of a community protection side of things than anything.
Eric Yazel, Clark County Health Officer, joining us here on this Thursday radio program. There's so many things that pop up, potential questions. I know at this time, we are still allowed to go to restaurants. At this time, drive-through, takeout, things like that are still allowed. And, of course, you want to see businesses make it, some of the great restaurants, the great small businesses that employ lots of people we know here in our communities. Your thoughts, you're probably familiar with these places. You guys inspect these places on a yearly basis, if not more often, for regular cleanliness problems. But at this point, going out to pick up dinner tonight, going through a drive-thru at lunchtime today, is that something that, as much as we want to support these businesses, is that something that you still feel comfortable recommending people do as they are currently are allowed to?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I encourage people to get out and support our local businesses. You're exactly right. We know all these business owners. We've got a great group of folks in Southern Indiana that, you know, all sorts of small businesses, and everybody's hurting right now. And, you know, it was with a heavy heart that we had to make that restaurant a recommendation because we know the effect that's going to have. And so we've been doing everything we can to get the word out to support our local businesses, you know. And as long as you're, you know, observing the good social distancing and, you know, making sure you're using hand sanitizer or washing your hands, you know, covering your mouth when you cough, don't touch your face, you know, sneeze into your elbow, all those things that, you know, are getting, getting sent out there as recommendations. As long as you're observing those, it's completely safe to go pick up food or go through a drive-thru or things like that. And we encourage that. We want to support our local businesses.
Dr. Yazel, taking a look at this situation overall, and I mean worldwide, I saw a few reports yesterday out of China from the Wuhan province, I believe, which really was where this thing got its massive start, that yesterday they reported zero new cases, at least domestically. How big of a deal is that for someone in your job that's tracking this virus and what its potential could be even locally? How big of a deal is it to see the epicenter, the originator, the start of this thing get to a point where it's zero new domestic cases in one day? And what kind of hope does that give you for Clark County, Floyd County, and our country here?
Yeah, it was the best news we could have gotten because, you know, like I said earlier, we just, the only thing we have to go on is the timeline of these places that were hit before us. So once they start showing days of zero new cases, then that gives me some sort of frame of reference to say, okay, you know, if we do this right and continue doing what we're doing, you know, when are we going to come out of the, you know, when, what's the light at the end of the tunnel there? So yeah, that was a very positive thing to see. And, you know, then that gives us a, you know, a goal to work for and to do even better. So.
Well, I appreciate your time. It's been great to catch up on a topic that obviously you hear so much about. You don't always hear the local perspective. Is there anything else? I know you've done a great job keeping the media, keeping other people abreast with what's going on in the community. Is there anything else that you want to share, or any important topics surrounding this COVID-19 crisis that you think would be good right now to pass along to our listeners?
Yeah, I do think one thing I'd like to touch on is the testing aspect. You know, we've been a little hamstrung, you know, not a little, a lot hamstrung as this has come in, just from our lack of ability to test people to where we don't exactly know how many cases are out there in the county. You know, we haven't had a ton of positives yet, but that's probably because of lack of testing thus far. But I also want to be clear that for, you know, 80 to 90% of the population, being tested accomplishes absolutely nothing. We're going to give you the same recommendations that we would if you just came and said, I have symptoms A, B, and C. You know, stay home, stay away from other people, and observe good hygiene. And, you know, what I want to say is if you're pushing into a healthcare system and demanding testing, all that does is flood the testing system, and we're already seeing our turnaround times on the test go from 3 to 4 days to 7 to 8 days. So please, you know, only if you're in a, if you're a healthcare worker, you know, if you're in a nursing home, you know, just really strict precautions on the testing. And please don't go to the ER just solely for testing. If your symptoms are such that you would go to the ER anyway, by all means, we want to take care of you. But just to be tested, please free us up to take care of the most critically ill, because we need all hands on deck for our sickest of our population.
Absolutely. Dr. Eric Yazel, Clark County's health officer with the Clark County Health Department. Keep up the good work. We know that you and a lot of your folks have been putting in some long hours. The community appreciates what you guys do as well. And we'll have you back. We'll stay in touch with you.
Anytime. Thanks for all you're doing, getting the message out there.
And again, Dr. Yazel of the Clark County Health Department. We're going to do some more community-type interviews coming up, and great to hear from him today. Great to get some advice. Great to know what's going on locally. And just as we were doing that interview, I see a third case of the coronavirus in Floyd County has been located. So another case, and I think we all expect the numbers locally and beyond to go up as the state of Indiana, the state of Kentucky, and the country, obviously, the cases going up on a fairly regular basis at this point. Want to give a quick shout-out, too, to some of our friends here at the Big X. Don't forget that Cluckers is available for carry-out, for pickup with their locations. Always a great stop for dinner. And also McAllister's here in southern Indiana. They've got a couple locations, Veterans Parkway, the new store in Jeffersonville as well, but also in Louisville. They are open. McAllister's a great option, and had to stop by the other day just to get a gallon of that tea. Great stuff they have at McAllister's. And don't forget that you can stop by and pick up something there as well. That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday program. Don't forget, all of our podcasts are available. We've got some great interviews if you want to kill some time and go back and hear from former IU players, special moments in our area. You can find all of our podcasts at soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. We're also on Apple Podcast as well. And I'll come back with you Friday. We'll be here at 11 o'clock as normal. On our Friday program, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is scheduled to join us. We'll talk IU basketball and more. And then also tomorrow, Paul Neidig. He's the assistant commissioner. He's in charge of the boys basketball state tournament. He's going to join us on our Friday program as well. So we'll cover what's going on with the basketball tournament, any hope of it being made up, as some of the rumors have been. We'll talk about spring sports with Mr. Neidig and a lot more. So stay with us. A good show coming up tomorrow, 11 o'clock, right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Have a great day. Stay safe. Stay healthy. We'll talk again at 11 o'clock tomorrow here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.